this time. Okay. Like 30 anyway.
But my wife had a question.
Yeah.
It had to do with something like passing laws saying you can open up stores on Shabbos in Tel Aviv.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
There's nothing to be said about it. What am I supposed to say? This is the big problem. In the very beginning, there was a very unpleasant scene where you had Rabbanut and you had Rav Zonnenfeld and the Badrats. And he said, I'm sorry, I know that Shoftim for you guys are the same as us. And you do everything the same as us. And anybody who eats Rabbanut has to break his dishes and as if he ate, bacon. Everything you had to do for bacon, you have to do for these guys. And I said, why? What's the problem? They're the same person, inside and outside. It's not like what they're you have an objection. He doesn't pay us. He has pay us. Like, what's your problem? He has everything the same. As if pay us is what determines how you chat. But like, it says better than beer. They have beers. Like, what's the problem? What could be the problem? He said, because the minute you have a rabbinic authority under a government which doesn't care about halacha and kosher and anything, it is of very little worth. And any time the standard can drop dead, can be lowered, can, for any reason. Because in politics, this one went with that one, and the other one that came out, I want this, you know what, we have kosher store on Shabbos. It's not kosher on Shabbos, because they're kosher, because it's kosher, it's kashrut, we have cameras, I said, you're talking to someone who doesn't care about kosher, I don't care, but the Shulchan Aruch says it's not kosher. Robert, I don't really care about the Shulchan Aruch.
Is by the government?
Under the government, yeah. That's the thing, they're not allowed to...
So they can keep open on Shabbos?
They can do anything they want, it depends on what you and I do. If we go yelling, maybe they won't, it's not worth it to them. But like, it's very sad, because I'm not a conspiracy type of person. Usually, I don't like to say people are plotting against me, and there's a lot of good, and people are want me to mean good. But if it's just not secular, why do you get to decide what I do in my store? I don't want you to decide, some dumb rabbi. I don't want, I'm interested. It's just not my lifestyle. I have my own way of seeing things. I don't want to see things like you. So again, it's very unpleasant. On the contrary, the way they say, so, and not everything is true on either side. Like, sometimes people say things like, they're like Nazis, they want to kill everybody. I mean, that's all nonsense. I mean, like, what are you talking about? Good people, they're doing their best. I happen to have a secular life view. I see the world in a secular way, so I'm going to be secular. Like, why shouldn't I be? Why should I be limited by your Code of Jewish law? Like, I don't get it. I'm not limited by the Turkish law. The Turks are gone, Adam. So there are some remnants of you guys, maybe more and more. I don't know what's happening. Okay, I don't really care. But I don't want to be limited any differently by the Torah. It just doesn't interest me. As my father likes to say, in Israel, you only have the lowest place in the world, not the highest, because there's a lot of potential for Kedusha, but if you don't use it right, you're going to find yourself in the lowest place.
That's
what he says. And it's
that's
very
my concern, is that we're trying to elevate.
It's a big problem.
And the other hand, people are trying to do the exact opposite. And what's going to happen, vis-a-vis Mashiach coming and saying, new?
Well, halavai, we're sort of holding him up. It's a problem. But I'll give you an example. Here's an example of the Rabbanut under the law. Last Shemitah cycle, there were a lot of rabbis who were modern Orthodox, everything that means. They went with all the anti-Ukrainian checklists. What does it mean to be a modern Zionist rabbi? And they passed every 100 out of 100. But they were also dedicated to halacha. Dedicated to halacha is also, if you're a manzar, you're dedicated to halacha. And they say, this whole hetter mechira thing, the sale, it says that we were poverty stricken, we were going to die without the produce. It says that there's no Jewish memshalah here, there's not so many Jews here. That's no longer, none of that's true. So like, the whole basis of this hetter mechira, I don't like it. In my town, I don't want it. And they went to high court and said, no, you have to, it's a precedent. But the precedent, as the years go by, it's very hard to defend halachically. Now it's impossible to defend halachically. They found a way, they found solutions to bring things in from other places, from non-Jewish produce. So why in the world is my precedent? No, some secular guy in the Supreme Court, who you might ask him, is there value to a kippah? And he might say, no. And he says, I believe that your precedent is good enough. Good enough! Do you have any halachic training? Do you know how halacha works? No, and I don't care either. No, don't I know? I don't respect you. I don't care. But I will decide for you. That's Rabbanut. And it's sad. I wish it was different. I wish it was changed. I wish it was something else. The theory was that the Rabbanut would stay the same. We'll keep, in a way, it's very, very good. Like, if there was a Rabbanut, I don't know how much intermarriage there would have been. They made people so much trouble, You can't. So it's annoying on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a very strong, it's kind of a buffer. If you're really far away, you're probably, you're going to hire a God, it's unlikely. People fall in, Folks of the facts. In Russia, they brought a million people in, Jewish fathers. They're Jewish, why not?
Is there like a head term for like cough drops to be able to have rough enough?
For what?
Like a cough drop.
Again, I don't know. It's a problem. Like for us, for me, and from what I my teachers, we stay away from it. If you're starving, yeah, you rub a noot over. I don't know. You'd have to ask. Maybe ask a Rebbe God. I don't know. Pashtus, on a simple level, no. You make a bracha on it, it's already a problem of kosher. But again, I don't really want to. I'm not trying to express. You know. I'm not trying to put myself above other people and say, oh, God forbid, I don't want to do that. I don't want to say the standard is terrible and unacceptable. Maybe, as some people point out, perhaps to this day it's better than certain Hashem in America that people take on. I don't know. I'm not a Hashem expert. I'm not trying to say these guys are no good and stay away from them. I didn't say any such thing, God forbid.
So you couldn't answer my question about, you have two exact packages of, say, like, example, cocoa. Mm-hmm. One package has badats, you know, and the other one, there's no label on it. But the exact same company, exact same products, exact same thing.
I'll tell you, I would take the badats one, and I would be very wary not to take the cocoa. If I had no choice, I'd take the cocoa. Now, there are a few reasons why. First of all, I'll tell you, I have a rule in my house. The rule is, we don't finish Shabbos until 10 minutes after the Luach. It says in the calendar, 10 minutes later. Now, I have my reasons why that is, because sometimes a person wants very much to do a malacha. You know, kol shekein, if someone likes to take a cigarette, then it's even worse. But let's leave that alone. That person, like, let's say that you don't have that problem, let's say. Fine. If that's the case, so the person, he wants, he's waiting to do his whatever. And Shabbos is nice, but like, you know, when you're being young, you want to get out of the Shabbos, you know, free of that. Okay, back out there, do whatever I want. So people tend to make little errors. They look the wrong week. They get confused, the clock is fast, the clock is slow, they miscalculate, miscalibrate. So if you give an extra 10 minutes, no matter what, one way or the other way, probably you'll make it. That's usually my rule. So it's the same thing. For me, I try to stay away, because like, it's a big question. It's a painful question. I wish it wasn't so. Now, like I said, there are certain things where, you know, and gayers also, like people, who knows what would have, like, any idiot rabbi said, I mean, you're a coach, like in America. Who's a rabbi? Your rabbi says you're a coach, you're a rabbi, you're a rabbi. Doesn't matter, we don't care. Good enough. What?
Like a document, like a guarantee?
A guarantee document here, but a guarantee, they have a certain process. They check out, who are you, what do you do? Like, it's very important, otherwise, who knows? Reform and the Israeli, like, that's not so good. Like, my good. So we're very lucky. It's great. They're doing great things in a certain way. Could be better, maybe, in certain ways, even in that area. Questions and but there are all, like, this was Rabbi Yasso was very upset about it. So again, I'm not trying to. I don't want to. It's like a very complicated. People were very angry that Rabbi Yasso joined the Rabbanut. He joined the Bezdin of the Rabbanut of Yerushalayim. He was part of that. He was a dying. And of course, nobody spoke. Whenever there was a question, no one said anything. He was the one who spoke first. Because whatever you said, you took a chance. That he'd say, well, it's kosher. He would say, what, not like the Ran? Not like the Ramban? Not like this? Not like that? Not like Tosfos? Like, he remembered everything. It was all clear to him. It was like, nicely, but like, you're saying not like an earlier source, which somehow slipped your memory or you never learned. He really had it all clear. So they asked him, why are you in the Rabbanut? He said, you know, the Rav of the Badats, Revengus told me go there. You'll help pick up the standard. Hopefully they'll hold on to something, because we don't want it to be bad. We want it to be good, and they're trying. So like, because of the complications, because it's so complicated, because it's so rife with difficulty. So then he was trying to pick it up, and he did that. He did it for a very long time. He was careful selecting Dayanim, all the people really knew their stuff. Not a guy who is really Shulchan Aruch and doesn't have Yerusha Mayim, doesn't care. He was very careful to weed out who's good, who they can send to Dayan to check, test for him. They all sorts of different, there were great Rabbanim who were involved. He was doing a lot of things. The minute Rav Gordon came in to be the Rabbi Rashi, he was 3 months from pension. He left. He walked out. He said, I'm out of here, I'm done. So you're going to lose your pension in 3 months. I won't stay one day with him, the Rabbi Rashi. I can't. He said, because he became the Rav Rashi, in my understanding, by saying, I'm going to find you halachically in Tzitzit. He said, I can't live with a rabbi like that. That's not a rabbi. That you don't sell. He said, this is a new thing. You had rabbis who were paid off for something, but to acquire the ability to be the head rabbi here by saying, I will be lenient, he said, that is not my cup of tea. I cannot be in the same place under such a rabbi. Is that really true? I don't know. I'm just saying that's what people say. That's what they bring down. That's what they say. The person who's working with him, that's what he said. I hope it's not true. In any event, he definitely left 3 months before. He would not come back. They said, what's going to happen in 3 months? Israel, everything was like molasses. By the time 3 months happens, he was not willing one day. He said, I'll lose my pension. My pension's nothing. I won't for $1 million a day sit with such a person. That was his feeling. That's how he felt. And there was like a big fight with him because the person, he had a very different way of seeing things halachically. And it was a big, he felt, Rav Yasha says, this is not, it's unfortunately, he crossed the line over what's a valid, there's some things which are valid, this is okay, it's lenient, but it's okay, and there's some things which are way beyond. So he's way beyond. And he, it was like a whole story after story, he permitted these two girls, I think a brother and a sister, if I'm not mistaken, who the mother married again without getting a get in Poland. She had been married, they found out, they said, I'm sorry, you have Palachim, I'm Serim. You can't marry you. They wanted to get married. So Rav Goren put out a secret psak. A secret brief. It's permitted. I won't tell you why. It's secret. Because it'll make political problems. He had a whole reasons. So they're like, what do we do now? Like, so he said, I have 9 dayanim. They signed a secret plaque. It's permitted. So Vayash said, you're not allowed to let this stand. You can't make a secret psak and permit what's prohibited. So he had the guy, their father, he said, if you're interested, because what he said was basically, whatever reasons, his gayness is no good, he's not Jewish, so the children also aren't Jewish, they can do it. Or the children are Jewish, but it's not a problem of lineage, it's not called mamzerut, there is no marriage there, it's okay. That's how it works. So whatever, the town, whatever. So he had this Jewish guy, this gayer, come to the court and say, this rabbi says, I'm not Jewish. Why? He says it's secret reasons. I'd like to know why he thinks I'm not Jewish. I'm just curious. Why are you declaring me not Jewish? So Goren said, no, I didn't talk about you. I only talked about your children. So the court, they laughed at him. They said, you're ridiculous. You have 20 days to give out your sources, and you can pay all the legal proceedings, because this is ridiculous. He's right. If a outcome of your psak is that he becomes non-Jewish, you got to let him know why. And if he asks you, you got to tell him. You can't say no. He put out a psak, and it was just a travesty, a joke. This is ridiculous. That's why it was secret. Why is it secret? Not because of political. Everyone knows. What is he talking about? It's very. So, you know, you speak to people next. So he was very open out front. It's not true. And unfortunately, he hid it. And there was a reason why he hid it. Well, Yash was fighting with him. Also, he wanted to appoint the young Mubar and such. Also, his way of seeing things. It's a very sad thing when a person makes an error, especially if the person had a lot of greatness to him. He was learning 13 daf a day and he was doing a lot of good things as a young man. He's a very, very accomplished scholar, really holding, really using his time. And, it's unfortunate when they lose track. It's easy to lose track of your Shemayim, to lose track of that you're on a trajectory. You're in a chain of Mesorah, which if you break away from that, you are on your own. People, they don't realize it. They feel tzaddik. He said, yes, elu v'elu divelu kimchaim. There are many options. This rabbi says you're allowed to. This rabbi says you're not allowed to. This rabbi says this. This rabbi says that. Which is right. So the Ritva, it's really in Masech Sofer, it's really in the words of our sages. He says, everything Moshe got on high, he had 48 options. What could be permitted here? What could be prohibited here? How? And then the sages will decide. In every place, they'll work it out. Isn't it? It's finally going to be a lot of arguments. Like, which is, wait a minute, what's the truth? There's no other truth. They're all truth. But stuff, there's this for something. Mary Nachman says, listen, this is not something which we understand, because bottom line, is it kosher or not kosher? Does God want me to eat it or not? So, well, you can't say yes or no. He said, no matter what you can say, this is Chesed, this is Racha, this is Dan, this is Isa, but nevertheless, we don't understand this. And the Shulchan Aruch says the same thing, so we don't get this 48 ways. Don't try to test on us. Well, you think you're great. Let's hear 48 ways how this is permitted, how it's prohibited. What are those things? You're not necessarily going to be able to do it. This is, oh, very often the details didn't come up. Nevertheless, there are many, many options. So, Tzadok HaKohen says, so anything you say, if you learn it, works? He said, no. You have to mean for the sake of heaven. You can't have an agenda. If you have an agenda, whatever you say is no good. Because you have to access that pathway, that kind of, even if it's a true point. And kol shekein, you very often easily fall away from what's not a true point. So that was the one time, you know, the Badats, every few months, every year or two, they make kriya on something. They're mourning. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're digging up kvarim. We're mourning. Well, that's a good reason to mourn. So people say maybe they're kvarim of, you know, horses. I don't know exactly the question. If the great rabbanim say it's okay, and you say it's not okay, who are you to decide? Okay, that's a question. But the bottom line is that, like, the one time, that the greatest rabbis sat with these people and dripped was on this side. So the minute you have something where I don't have authority, who has authority? The high court. Who has authority? It gets very sticky. It's like, imagine a medical board of surgeons that had to be under the real decision a layman who knows nothing about surgery will decide.
Obamacare.
Whatever, okay. That's another anyway. Another sugya, interesting sugya. But Epsilonia, sad sugya. Very sad. But Epsilonia, the bottom line is that, like, what do you do then? So the surgeons are going to feel very upset. So you can say, well, surgery is different. Surgery, I see something. Guys drop dead. Kill them. Didn't do the surgery. Let's say, maybe not. Depends. Sometimes if something's harder to tell. You can't just decide like that. That's not how it works. So basically, we have to fix these problems by keeping Shabbos with intensity and connection. Mm-hmm. That's our job. That's what it says. We both keep Shabbos, everything will work out. Shabbos will heal.
Excluding kashrus, can you use the revenue for anything? For example, my daughters had to get a letter stating that they were religious women so that they could avoid the army.
Okay, one second. That's what I want to get back. So I guess we're not done yet after all. I'm sorry. I'll ask the question. There are different approaches. I don't mean to come and say, listen, you know, there are many religious Jews, they should all live and be well in Israel, and listen to 80% or something, are way off, they're all crazy. I mean, God forbid, that's not what I'm trying to say. That's not what I'm trying to express. They're all beautiful kosher Jews, everyone's trying their best, but nothing says, you know, like I said yesterday, he says, I can find good in every Jew, I don't care what he's done, and I can fill a book of good for him that he has. It's good because I know how hard life is. People go through a lot in life. It's hard. Like, listen, you got to see the good in what he's trying to do, and his attempts, his efforts, his desires. He's trying, huh? Yeah, he said, I can see every good everywhere. He said, but there's a difference between saying good and not realizing that there's falseness and problems there. So it really depends on who you follow. If you ask a Belgrad, can I? He says yes. So he's a real rabbi. He's holy. He says you can. Again, I'm not trying to get involved. I'm saying that there are certain flaws and problems, and hopefully they won't get worse. I hope they won't get worse. What happens when a high court can decide, you have to declare this kosher because I think it's kosher? I say you can rely on this leniency. I have some guy, some professor in the university who doesn't keep Shabbos and doesn't care about anything, kashrut or anything. But he knows, he has, what's it called, the Bar-Ilan program. And he'll find different leniencies, and we're relying on those leniencies. You're allowed to eat the meat with the chicken because of Yosef Lili. I mean, I know it doesn't matter what it's the Tanaic question, this opinion. It's no longer relevant anywhere in the whole world. So there's a certain precedent. So then the question is, how much can we move the precedent? And we'll have an agenda to try to move the precedent. It won't be so good. That's going to be a little too much conservative movement. No, it's not conservative movement. It's just there's like a serious flaw, which hopefully won't make the system collapse. But right now, it's not the situation. Hopefully, they're not trying to force you into doing things that are not okay. Usually. What do you mean? What am I supposed to do? I have to show I'm Jewish. I show I'm Jewish. There are many people, though, who might not accept that. I'll just let you know. So don't be surprised if someone says, Rabbanut, I'm sorry, that's not good enough for our standard. You have to check it out. And that's why when they play around with the Geiris, even if it's not too many, when you have a rabbi signing on Geiris, when he wasn't there, he didn't officiate, he doesn't know the Geiris, doesn't care. So it's a serious problem. It's like, what do you mean? So what is all your signature worth? It gets really complicated. So then it's like, maybe nothing. And he messes up all these thousands of people who are like sincere, good people, good Jews. They went with their whole heart. And it's like, well, this guy's a question mark. So then it gets really unpleasant and questionable. Any meat, it's easy, it's no problem at all. You just have to be totally pure. I'm not there at all, but if you're totally pure, he didn't eat food, that was not kosher. He just knew.
He was in the section where he had to put the hand on the and he put his hand on the tefillin, but it was on Shabbat. So after Shabbat was finished, he kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because his mind was not in
Everyone is different.
Can he make a mistake? So let's say the Shochet. His mind is not in Shrita.
It's a different level of kosher. It's better. There's a Bechina called better. There's a Bechina called... There are different levels. I'll tell you, Rav Nassim was once eating. He went to some place. He gave a big, beautiful shear. He didn't eat the food. He left. They said, "Oh wait, there's a shear in the lungs. He could feel it from not eating a few times." A few stories, and there are other stories like that. The Chiddush Rav says anybody could all do this. There's no problem. You just have to look at the food and really focus your whole attention and say, "God, I'd rather die than eat not kosher." He said, right away you'll know if it's kosher or not. I've never done that. I have to admit, I'm not zochet to be in a place to think that I'm holding where I can really, you know, really feel that. I mean, you just you're fooling if you try.
It just.
But to really know, even if that you don't really know.
Yeah.
You just know that they're careful and they care. And while somewhere else it's like maybe they don't care, or rely on leniencies, which only someone who doesn't care would rely on. So it gets complicated.
No,
but it's a shechita, shechita, same shechita. You're right, but he says it's not. He didn't say
it. What I mean,
he didn't say it's invalid.
He
said, "I don't want a shochet like that."
Let's say you make a hit with him. A person who is shochet, he may get a hit with him to do it, and he may confess himself because every day he's not what he's shochet. It's not better than the person he never make a hit with him because he don't know what is in his mind.
Oh, Hashem, you're not here. What can I tell you? Here, I'll tell you a story, another horror story. This guy's a shochet for Rabbanut. He says, I don't remember, 10 seconds, 5 seconds to chef each bird. No one ever checks. Chef to me, say, most of them probably are kosher. So he said, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but I can't say it's possible that if I'm chefing however many birds a minute, however many birds an hour, however many hours, that none of them are on my kosher. That's impossible. He says, I'm a good shochet, and I'm very practiced, and I'm muscular, and focused, concentrated. And I'm trying to bring down the or, but like every shochet. So then, can you eat those birds? So again, if you hold up a note, well, most of them kosher. It's a big question. What do you mean? It's a bird. It's not. You certainly can't set up a system like that. So is it still like that? I have no idea. Was he telling the truth? I imagine. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know.
I was fortunate enough to have my rabbi pay for me to take the Mashkiach course.
Uh-huh.
And it's very in-depth, and one of the things they did is we actually went to a slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained that with shechting the birds is very interesting because there is a leniency that you just do, you have the two vessels, right, the two tubes you have to cut, and as long as you get more than 50% of each one, so the rabbanut will just try to do that. But like you said, bird after bird after bird after bird after bird, are they going to actually get it right every time? Whereas with all the other hexerin, they don't do that.
No,
they do way more. They go way over. So for sure, they're not going to have that mistake.
Yes, you're totally right. But not only that, you make a little error the way you push in instead of cutting. You one time, and you're not even sure. You're not noticing it. It's so fast, and it's not kosher. I don't care if you take the whole head off. Like, whole head off is for sure not kosher. But I mean, if you did the whole, all the simanim, you did 100%, it wouldn't help. But you're right. There's another question of, is it really 51%? How do you, maybe you never missed it, and if you did, it's no good. So the truth is, by a bird, you really need only one simon. I mean, again, it's not, so how bad are you doing? It's a whole interesting, fun thing, which we prefer to get. Like I said, there are, is it not kosher? Would I say, well, if I'm eating at someone's house, it's not kosher. I wouldn't say that. Is it a good idea? No, it's not a good idea. Is it not kosher? Is it a guy's intrigue? Someone took chazanish, and my mother has rabanut. What do I do? She's not so careful even then, I hope, you know, whatever. He said, well, what are you going to do? You're going to embarrass your mother. I mean, you got to pray to God and do your best. What do you mean? You can't embarrass her. If it's trade, but it's kosher, it's kosher. You have to be very careful. You can't shame someone, especially your parents. It's not the idea. Shame, but the guy's like, becomes like from the part of the Taliban, God forbid. He doesn't realize it's not Jewish. No, Rav Nassim would say, he means well, he's a tzaddik, but Lamaisa, he's destroying, you know, the whole world. Even though he does mean well, that's credited to him, that's good. But then the rest is like, what's your problem? What are you doing? What are you? But it's very, very, like, it's very, the standard, when you start hearing things about standards, you're like, oh no, you're relying on this. You're like, what's your deal? So that's why it's like one Rabbi Repson likes to say, he says, there's some chair, you hold the thing up. If it doesn't say I'm going, it's kosher. I mean, like, that's not our standard. That's not what we want. We want a real standard. We want a real, you know, we want reality. We want genuine. So is it 100%? It's not 100%. The guy could have been in a dream, being foggy. He doesn't remember kosher slaughtering. He doesn't know what he's doing. He messed up. He doesn't even notice. Who knows what could have happened?
Well, you get exhausted.
The person gets used to it, though. It's a physical thing. And you're right. They say, again, I don't know. I have a teacher who trains Vedat Shofet. And he says, he's also a big Mekubal, he's a great person. He says, in the Vedats, they're more careful, that you should have more leeway, more open, easier. It's easier. That's what they claim. Again, is it true? I imagine. I trust him. I don't know that it's true. I'm not the testifying. I have no idea. Presumably, it's true. So it's very. It gets very, very. There's the other problems also. Tzar Bali Chaim. You're not supposed to shech one animal from another animal. The animal, the chayr, it's kosher, but you're not supposed to do it because they have pain. There are many yechshem that don't care. And only Rabbanut, I wish only Rabbanut. And I'm not sure that Rabbanut does, although I would imagine so. Because I think they rely on every single leniency possible. I don't think that there's like kimat on the halachic that's okay. I think that anything they're relying on. But and it's okay, kosher. There are, it's enough of an opinion. It's not like it's nobody, but it's not great. That's the thing, though. The chef, yeah, it's like not a joke. There was one rabbi, someone wanted to say, it says two things there. It says you could make them treif. And also Tzar Bali Chaim, because you're paying the animal, which is one of as many as a Torah prohibition. So he said they're connected. If you see it's not treif, it's not paying the animal. So one, I forgot who it was, one rabbi, I heard this from Dr. Tzir's, one rabbi, he said, what are you talking about? I've seen people doing the sheep the way you're not supposed to, one with the other, and the bigger cows shield the little cow, they shouldn't see what they're doing. So terrible. Like, that's Tzar Bali Chaim. I'm sorry, man. What do you know? I do that. You have to find a different way. Find a different way. After the Shem, you know, they're not supposed to be seeing. They're not supposed to be minimalized. Not like that. That's not okay. And that's exactly what it says there. It's not allowed to be done. People are doing it anyway. Is it kosher? Yeah, probably it's kosher. Is it okay? Totally not. It might be a Torah prohibition to do. And I wish it was only one hechsher. It's kimah, like an awful lot of them, unfortunately. It's just easier. It's just harder. How are you supposed to chef? What? Except a compartment? What? Do this? Do that? I think Rav Lando doesn't. There are different places that don't. Maybe that's also, hopefully, but that's also doesn't. I think.
The best is the
Rosh Hashanah. Huh? Maybe. I have Rosh Shiva like that. Yeah. He only chefs himself once a year.
I don't know about the other ones, but the slaughterhouse, they said that the Rabbanut also has quotas. Which means
no,
right? So and so they were like doing, like, I remember there was one guy at the very end, and he was doing one chicken for every three chickens everyone else in line was doing, and so I just, to one of the guys who was by the side, I said, what's the deal with this guy? Like, he's definitely taking so much more time. You keep guys like this on? He goes, no, he's not Rabbanut. He doesn't have the quota.
Good morning.
So that made me wonder, one second, how many mistakes do you make when you're
a problem. Now they say again, they say, well, the guy's a little lazy, and he puts it at being frugal. He's so careful, and he works like a third as much as anybody else. But the decision, the determination of however much time second file, whatever the little, I heard it was like 3 seconds. I hope it's not true. Again, I don't know. I hope it's not true. Like, I hope not. I don't know. So I'm giving you a little more, but it's not what I heard, and I don't know. But actually, yeah, like, It's a question. There's got to be a middle ground. How do you decide that? I don't know. And I don't want to rely on it. So is it not? Is it treif? Does it become? You buy a bird for a, is it treif? Hopefully not. But it's every hechsher you're hoping not, because it could make a mistake. It could be. Yeah. It's not pashut. Every hechsher you need to tzad yishmaya. So then you're just not even care. It's like cavalier. So what hechsher you have tzad yishmaya? So who cares? Like, what's the deal? What happened? Like, it's better not to lie if you can. It's better. Plus more. It's more complicated. It's a pain sometimes.
The show that has an iPhone,
is it? This you have to ask Kravash. This is a Kravash question.
What about?
I heard that recently that someone told me they don't buy Tornetti because they saw
it. Yeah.
What about non-meat items like cocoa or powder?
Again,
or coffee,
so usually you would assume.
And you're two exact same products.
So you would assume.
And one has a hexagram and one doesn't.
You would assume that it's okay, but sometimes it's not okay. That's the problem. Why don't they put the hechsher on both? It doesn't cost them more. If it's the same hechsher...
No, it's the exact same product.
No, I know.
The same product,
usually, generally speaking, it doesn't cost them more. So there could be a few answers. It could be, we don't want to bother. Usually we're selling places, they don't care. People, they'd say, it's a natural product. So we just don't want to bother. And some people, they don't like to see the symbol of kosher, so we do it for them. You don't have to find the kosher one. Unfortunately, there are other answers which are less pleasant. Like, we use milk in this one that's not so careful if it's milk on Shabbos. We use this in this one that's not so careful. I mean, there are too many times when that's the answer because it doesn't cost more. I don't believe it costs more. And even if it does for the Hechshen, usually it doesn't, for these places, it doesn't usually matter. We have to work out. It could be simply, maybe it does cost more. I don't know. Usually, it's a good reason. Because people like me, I'm not going to buy it. So why would they exclude that customer? You have to be already done when you have a reason.
Because it's really weird. I pull up the exact same thing, and I have to look in the side to see whether this one has badats and this one doesn't have badats.
Yeah, again, sometimes it's because there's a reason, and sometimes there isn't. Shemitah, you'll see there'll be a reason. It's in the same bottle, and they'll say, oh, this is Het Mechira. Another one will say kosher. You say, wow, it looks the same, but it's not the same. This is not kosher, this is kosher. Or the whole Het Mechira. Maybe, again, I don't know. For me, it's very hard to justify it, but I don't want to put down other Jews. We don't want to fight with people. We don't want to, you know, hopefully.
I was looking for a coffee creamer, and it's like kosher lepesach, so I grabbed it. Looking everywhere for a hetcher. There are no hetchers.
Okay, kosher lepesach fund. That's another reason, which might be, which if it's kosher lepesach, it could be that they, the really good hetcherim are not going to. Pesach, no. It's the same product, Pesach. I don't know. But if it's the same thing, it's the store we usually get, probably it's the same. They don't change the hetcher, they don't change the product for Pesach. That's the problem. They don't change it. It tastes good. It has kidneys, it has a questionable ingredient for Pesach, not for the year. That already probably is okay.
Okay.
Because that's the same product that's doing a weekday. I admit that I do that too. Like, again, but I'm assuming that you're not changing the hetcher negatively for Pesach, probably. I mean, you're not putting, you know, they're putting lard in because of Pesach. We have a chance now. You're not careful enough. Like, it sounds crazy. Why would we do that? That's assuming. I would assume.
What drives me nuts is two exact same products, two same company, same product, same everything. Mm-hmm. One has a good hetcher, and one has nothing on it.
Well, Pesach is okay.
Not just for regular.
I heard a horror story from one of the teachers of the course. One of the things, when you want to be mishkiach, the truth is, the money's not here. The money's overseas, and a lot of big companies now, places in China, in Japan especially, they do a lot of the processing of the food, and then so we send our mishkiachs over there, they make sure everything's okay, and then the food comes back over here. So this guy was taking over from a former mishkiach who had missed that there was a problem with one of the processing machines, and it was for sure trafing everything that went through it, and it was particular powder. And they used it with all the stuff that they made. Now, he was able to determine how long it was happening because the problem happened when they sent their mechanic in to fix it. He did it wrong. Mishkiach never overlooked it. So he says, from this date to this date, for sure, we can't give you hexer. And the company said, okay, fine. We don't put the hexer on these packages because we're not about to lose all this money. So all that stuff still came here, still got put on Israeli shelves, but without a hexer. Identical packaging to all the rest of the kosher stuff, but on this batch, no hexer.
This is a potential problem. And it's not only there are many, many potential problems. But you have to be a hexer. I'm not a hexer buff. We're some more erudite in this area than I am. We're part of a practical course of learning about one thing. I just picked up whatever I picked up. But I have a friend also who's a hexer. He'll like. He'll say, well, teas you don't need, this you don't, but this you do. This he'll tell you everything.
Whereas I was a practical mishkiach working for the major butcher and distributor for the LA area.
Good, Ashrecha. Excellent.
I have the cuss to show it.
There we go.
Yeah, but that's why I'm so concerned about safety, because I got cussed many times.
Wow. Not simple. So some people who have the experience in a broad array of products, this person would tell you, cocoa, no problem. They're never going to put anything bad in it. It can't be. Could be. I don't know. I admit that I just don't know. Could be. For me, I anyway want to stay away from it. Because the minute my kid sees, oh, this is okay for that, it's okay for anything. It gets, it gets complicated. Just like Shabbos, you want to like keep to it. You don't want to be.
No, it's okay. That's what I like, because my girls are going to a really good school, and even when we were living in LA, we were keeping as high a standard as we could, and there was a lot of problems. You know, we wouldn't eat at certain people's houses.
It's complicated. You have to find a way to do it in a good way. Like, I knew someone, he decided he doesn't eat out anymore. I don't eat out, no, I don't eat out. Come to me, I just don't, I like home. That's a good excuse, it's great. You don't want to say, you're not kosher enough for me, it's not fun. I mean, after all, especially if the guy that is kosher, to be careful. Like, I one time, Moshe Feinstein actually came to Eretz Yisrael, he was in a bris, and he was serving, a hechsher that wasn't so careful. From his, like, Ashkenazic custom, they weren't careful. And there's a big difference there. And he ate. So I said, why are you? He said, I can't embarrass. I mean, presumably it's kosher. I had a show hijacked. And it was Allah. So I'm like, how am I going to go now and embarrass someone in their simcha and say, I can't eat your food?
Whereas, as a mishkiach, I was told by the RCC that a certain hechsher, they assume that there's no hechsher on it. Fortunately for us, it was jam. And so we just simply looked at the ingredients. And we used the jam for a glaze on our chicken, and the head of the RCC simply said it was okay.
As long as he said it's okay, it's okay.
But any other part, I don't know. Jam, I would assume, would be okay.
If he said it's okay, it's okay. Generally speaking, in America, you can put in less. I forgot what the percentage is. You can put it over 1 in 60 without writing on the ingredients, but do you have to assume it did? I mean, again, this is a question you have to ask the technical experts more than me.
If you're trying to be Machner with your X-ray, is it at all related to amunoscopamine?
Oh, wow. Very much so. Yes, because again, you want to have excellent, excellent vehicle. Very true. You want to have a clear-cut way. You want to be able to believe that it makes a difference. Like, there are some people who are careful, even in the highest standard. I don't leave a dot, let's say. Or don't leave. So again, for me, there was a certain, it was never a question. My parents, they eat mapadats. So I can't be in a place where, God willing, my parents are coming this week. And I'll say to Michelle, well, I can't eat with you on Shabbos. You have to eat this, you have to eat that, you have to eat that. Like, to me, it's like, I lose the whole advantage of eating a higher standard, you lose by those times. Because the Torah says a person's in a situation, he's cursed, aror. You're not allowed to make pain for a parent. You have to really try very hard, even if you're right. And your parent was, who knows what. You're not allowed to do it. Now, sometimes a person's suffering, and like, whatever's comes out, and he doesn't mean to, he's trying to stop, but like, he just explodes. Okay, explode. But if you can hold on, and you are in a place where you're balancing up, even if something bothers you, it's hard for you, you should just let go of it, say, it's my parent, everything I have from them. Part of this person's in me, and giving me life, and spiritually, and there's no way, no matter what, I don't care, and it doesn't matter, I cannot just, like, push blood. It doesn't work that way. So it's very, very careful. But there are some people who have a higher standard, only the dots. Only my house. And, you know, I already know, don't even offer Michelle Brooks. I'm not a level. So I don't.
What about fruits and vegetables for non-Shemitah? Shemitah, I'm not even getting into the issue of
Shemitah. Again, fruits and vegetables is the same with you. Again, we have to be careful because it depends on your store seller. It depends on a lot of things. If you have a better hampshire, hopefully they're taking the mashgiach and take care of it.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, of course. No, for sure, you're right. It's a very important people.
And you eat,
you don't know.
You go to money, give the money, is there.
Yep. It's not. It's not.
You get money back. Exactly. I will. Let's say he sell Schmidt product. Is Schmidt product? He say no. You buy, but you pay something, you give him money back, and this money is there.
If you issue Shemitah also, yeah, you have a problem. It's too
late. Well, that's why I was saying not Shemitah, because
Shemitah
my wife's already taken care of that. We know her shop. I mean, like,
Baruch,
I mean, just until Shemitah, can we use revenue?
Again, this is a question you need to ask an individual rabbi. I would say it's not worth it, but I don't want to take the responsibility, especially since I honestly am not involved in the details, the technical details of what's going on in the revenue today. I don't know. There is an endemic flaw which I hope won't collapse the whole thing. I hope. We hope.
If you know the rabbi and he knows Dr. Plan and he has students that are working there too.
Of course. No, for sure. That's for sure. That's a different point. Which is knowing about being a mashkiach. That's a nice, like we were saying. Some people are more careful and some people aren't. I mean, there's Ritzky, he doesn't need any hall. I don't care about that, they won't eat in the hall. So someone asked him, why aren't you eating here? But that's the best texture. Look at the mashkiach, he's in the other room with long white beard, learning Tanya, what could be wrong? He said, you're asking me, I'll show you what's wrong. I don't know this guy and it doesn't matter. Come, let's go talk to him. They walk in the back. He said, no, so I'm letting you the mashkiach, you're the mashkiach, yes, this is this thing, and he's holding very good. He said, so tell me one question, please. What's the menu tonight? I don't know, the usual problem. What do you mean the usual problem? He said, I one time was a mashkiach somewhere, I checked the menu, they brought in melons. I said, what are these melons? They're not on the menu. So we ran out of dessert, so I sent Mahmoud to get me melons.
Mm-hmm.
What would you buy? You know, the store that hates the religious, they don't do anything. For sure, no maestros, nothing. He said, get this out of here, you don't know extra, I tell everyone. No one's allowed to eat anything here if you bring the stuff in. Oh, you're right. Yeah, I didn't think of that. I mean, it's not his problem. He's not religious. He doesn't care. It's your problem. You're the mashkiach. How are you sitting here without even knowing what's on the menu? Why aren't you looking and seeing what they're putting out, what they're doing? I don't understand how you have time to learn. I just don't get you. I mean, I guess you're hoping for heavenly assistance. I'm not relying on heavenly assistance for your single learning. I can't do it. So that's how he felt. And it's true. He's right. The man is right. He's not wrong.
I mean, what I was...
That's badatz. That's not rabbanut. That's badatz.
I mean, for RCC, the restaurant owners loved me because I was starting earlier than they were, because I was the one opening up to open the refrigerators, because I sealed it. And then I would check all the parsley and everything else for bugs,
wow,
clean everything, chop it up so that, you know, they knew at least a prune Jew was doing it. Then I'd be cooking the shawarma, or cooking the fish or something like that, to make sure that at least the Jew is turning things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, making sure, you know, keeping an eye on everything. The only time I took a break was when I actually had to eat something. That was before the customers came in.
Wow. That's the way.
I mean, I didn't have time to work.
So, yeah, how are you going to... That's what he said. So, I'm going to die. I'm like, forget it.
I mean, this is just a rabbit.
Again, it depends on who the person is.
This is RCC.
For sure. For sure. No, but it depends on who the person is. Like, for me also, it was maybe 10 years ago or a little more. It used to be before there was a little strange thing happened. I used to eat Mahadim Yerushalayim. I asked the greatest people who were really careful and said, it's fine. It's great. These guys, perfect standard. Everything's fine. Rav Zerutsky, I mean, he's really, really, really careful. He's like, no problem. And then, suddenly, Rav Frati was in charge of the fruit and vegetables and maestros, threw them out. Rav Adler was in charge of the poultry and meats, threw him out. Didn't replace anyone on their level at all. And the whole hesher collapsed. Nobody knew, though. It was like, Mahadim's good, it's good. They kept eating and keep eating, but it's like, it's not. But there is a place in Center 1. When you walk into Center 1 from Yirmiyo, there are three or four restaurants. You have in the middle of Milchik's place's dairy. You have something called Koros Aleish, and you have Koros Sini, Chinese, and you have a pizza store, and you have a bakery. They're all Mahadim Shalayim, and they're all perfectly fine. Because Mashkiach says this. Now, with a trim white beard, who's very careful. So I asked Rav Zitzky, he said, well, they're fine. They're okay. He's okay. He's on the ball. That guy knows what's going on all the time. You can't fool him. He works all day. He's there from the morning till the night checking things. He's on the level.
Where's Center 1?
Not. Huh?
Where's Center 1?
Center 1 is right near Tachanah Merkezit.
Of the Central Bus Station.
Yes,
okay.
But you have to go in from the other way. There are other restaurants of other stuff, which I don't know if they're part of that. I'm not so sure. But this guy, he's always around the restaurants. You never know when he's going to show up, but he shows up. He has the headphones. He's listening to his Torah, whatever it is. But he's like, spry old guy, and he's like back and forth and back and forth, hanging out, talking to this, but you know he can't do anything. Any meat, anything that comes into that place, he knows when it's supposed to be there, and woe to them if something comes in without him knowing. He's on the level, the guy's holding, great.
I got royal hell for that.
Oh,
boy. This store had two stores,
uh-huh,
and so the Mashkiach didn't tape up something right. And they just simply brought it in from the other store. Well, I didn't know that, so I refused the order.
Oh,
so they had to call my boss.
Oh, boy.
But yeah. I mean, it's like, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Yep.
They told us we have to check in at one of the persons.
Sorry. Okay.
Yep.
Everything good? Thank you.